The book of Acts, the 27th chapter, beginning at verse number 18. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, storm. The next day they lightened the ship, and the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. This is the Apostle Paul in the ship, a violent storm. Verse 20, and when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest, no small storm lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Well, that has to be a sad place to be at in life. All hope that we should be saved was then taken away. I want to preach for a little bit this morning on conquering the storms of life. Conquering the storms of life. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for these precious, sweet people this morning that have come with faith and expectations, that have brought burdens and needs and situations within their lives today. You know every need that is here today. I pray that you would order my steps in this service to give me wisdom and knowledge and understanding and divine favor in this pulpit this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say amen. Look at your neighbor before you're seated and tell them we're going to conquer the storms of life. The Lord bless you this morning. You may be seated. We always pray before we go to bed at night. It's a good habit to have. We've always done since we had kids. Not that we didn't pray before we had kids, but we have family prayer. Lasts for about all of 60 to 90 seconds. You know, if all of you that have had kids and had little ones, you know how you do that. And every once in a while, we rotate. You know, they hear Dad pray all the time. And once they get to a certain age, I start letting them pray. It's amazing how they will copy what you say. I've often told parents, if your kid's prayer life had to depend on what they heard you pray, would they have one, you know? And so Brianna said last night, she said, Dad, I want to say the night prayers. That's my six-year-old. And I said, well, sure, baby, you go right ahead. I'll take the night off. You can pray. And she starts praying. And she says, Lord, we're going to a church we've never been to before. She said, Lord Jesus, we don't know nobody there either. We don't have any friends there. And she's worried, you know, not going to know nobody. You know, it's so funny hearing her pray. But man, it's something about in the body of Christ, there are no strangers. We serve the same God, baptized under the same name, the same baptism. It's good together. You come together. You feel the unity of the brethren. You feel the unity of faith. You come together and wonder one calls and worship together, and you can just rub shoulders, and you don't have to spend hours and days and weeks getting to know one another. You know, like I know, God found me in a miry pit somewhere, and my life was so messed up and undone, and by the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, he pulled me out of that old miry pit and put me on a solid rock. Amen. We bought a house last October. We still got boxes. Our carport will fit two cars, but there's only one underneath it because there's boxes, you know. I got a nice storage building back behind my house, and man, you can put tools for days and all. I mean, it's just this huge, nice storage building. It's just full of boxes, you know. They'll probably be there to the day the Lord comes back, you know. Just boxes. I love being in a brick house when a storm rolls through. We traveled for a number of years ago with a fifth-wheel travel trailer, and there were times we were caught in storms and 60, 70 mile-an-hour winds, and man, that old fifth wheel just kind of rocking, you know, and you just living by faith, you know, and you just help me, Jesus, you know, anchor this thing down a little bit. We've been in the hallway twice since October. It's not a good feeling. Closing the doors off to the bedrooms, getting in the center of the hallway. Tornado sirens are going off in Natchitoches. I don't know if you have those here in the Lake Charles area or not, but it's not a great sign. You know, it's not a great sound to hear, you know. It's not the call to come eat lunch, you know. It's the take shelter, you know. Midnight one night, my wife's cell phone goes off and big siren sounds breaking off, and she set up with some weather app to says, let us know about alerts, and she looks down and she says, it's a tornado warning, you know, and I said, what? I mean, there's nothing going on outside. What do you mean, a tornado warning? Sure enough, we got to research it. And man, there it was like 5 miles from our house, you know, and we're grabbing the kids out of the bed and we're getting into the hallway. And man, you hear the wind roaring. You don't know what's, it's pitch black, dark. I'm going to tell you what, folks, if you like storms, I'm not hanging out with you. I don't know any storm chasers because I don't like storms. I like to deer hunt. I'll hang out with Brother Baggett a little bit, you know. I like to golf. You know, if you like to golf, we'll hang out. I like cheeseburgers, you know. If you like cheeseburgers, we can hang out. If you like storms, I may not hang out much with you. I don't like being in a car, you know, chasing the hail and the lightning and the winds. And but there's nothing exciting about shoving your kids in that hallway closet and hunkering down and waiting for that storm to go through. I can't imagine what it felt like on this ship. I remember those days and those times in that fifth wheel and it just rocking. And man, you look out the window and man, those sheets of rain are just blowing sideways and that thing. And you don't know. Man, on the waters, that thing's moving in a storm like we had never, a strong tempest blow. And for days, we have not seen the sun or the stars. And days, this ain't just moments. It ain't like that tornado that blows through and in 5 minutes it's there and it's gone. This is days, hours after hours of that boat rocking and moving. And the winds and the lightnings and the thunders going. In days I have not seen the suns or the stars. I have no idea where I'm at. They didn't have GPS. I love GPS. I was in Dallas for 3 days this past week. I found comfort in the voice of another woman. I know you shouldn't say that the first time you go to a church, but it's just the truth. I've got an app on my phone called Waze, W-A-Z-E. Maybe some of you are Z-E. Maybe you're familiar with it, but it has a voice. It talks to you. Turn right, turn left, go. And it was a woman's voice, and I was so glad she was there. They didn't have an app on that ship. There was no navigational system to go by. That wind had been blowing and raging for days. They had no idea where life had taken them. They didn't know what land they may fall onto. They didn't know what lied ahead. All they knew was they were at the mercies of the storm that was blowing their ship around. I can't imagine what they were unloading. We begin to unload the tackling of the ship. We begin to get things out of there that we thought we needed, but when we realized death was at the door, we realized we didn't really need it all that much. I mean, I know Lake Charles doesn't know much about storms, you know, being on the Gulf down here. You don't know what it's like to have winds and hurricanes and all of that. When you walk through a storm, it relates to you a little bit. I can't imagine. I travel this country from one end to another. I'm in churches almost every weekend. I'm in large churches. I'm in small churches. I'm in city churches. I'm in rural churches. I'm in churches of 20. I'm in churches of hundreds. One thing I can tell you, there is a commonality throughout humanity that there are people that are living and going through storms and crises. Whether you realize it, whether you recognize it, whether you're there or not, there are those that are here, right here this morning, that are living and going through the storms of life. The winds are blowing. The lightning is flashing. The thunder is rolling. They're life is being tossed to and fro throughout the crisis of life. They have no peace. They have no comfort. They don't know what's ahead of them. They don't know when the sky is going to clear up. It's been so long since they have felt the peace of life in them. They go home, their home is a raging storm. They go home, their marriage is a raging storm. They go home and their relationship with their kids is a raging storm. They go home and it's the end of the month and they go to pay bills and their bank account is a raging storm. They go to work and their work is a raging storm. They go about their community and everything they touch and everything they go about, everything, the winds are blowing, their life is chaotic. Storms are a part of the natural and they're a part of the spiritual. And I don't want to depress you too much this morning, but Christians are not exempt from storms. I don't want to discourage you too much this morning and tell you that if you'll join the church and give your life to God, you'll never face a storm in your life and everything you touch will turn to gold and all you'll ever walk through is rose bushes that have no thorns on them. I'm not going to betray you this morning and tell you that.
I'm not going to tell you that if you come to the altar this morning and give your heart to God and take his name in baptism and let him fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that all of a sudden the clouds are going to roll back and the sun will always shine and everything in life will always be perfect. I think that's why some people wash away, is because they think that. They think, if I can ever just get in the church, I'll never have heartache again. If I can just get in the church, I'll never face disappointment again. If I can just get in the church, I'll never go through a crisis again in my life. And all of a sudden, the first storm comes in and they're swept away because they didn't dip their roots deep enough. They didn't get that anchor deep enough or solid enough in their life. And they're just tossed to and fro from one church to another, from one relationship to another, from one storm to another. And they never anchor themselves deep enough in the Word of God to understand. If you're going to build a house in your life, you better build it with the storm in mind, because whether it's today or tomorrow, there is an hour in your life the storm is coming. I'll never forget, at the age of 19, major series of storms came through the West Monroe area in straight line winds, 80, 90 miles an hour. And when that storm came through Texas, it produced tornadoes. By the time it got to Louisiana, it was straight line winds. But I read one story of one account in northern Texas where a tornado hit, wiped out an entire street. Every home was destroyed, and everybody that lived on that road died that night except for one family. I'll never forget reading this article in all my life. They talked to the homeowner of the one house, of him and his wife and his kids that lived, and asked him why he felt like he was spared. And he said, "I knew when I built this house that we live in Tornado Alley. And when we built this house, we built a concrete closet in the middle of this house because we knew it wasn't if a storm come. We knew it was just a matter of when the storm comes." And he made the statement that I will never forget. We built our house with the storm in mind. We built the house with the storm in mind. I walked down the aisle with this sweet lady over here. There's probably been times she may have questioned it. I don't know. But I mean, we walked down that aisle and she looked at me. And I'll never forget, we looked eye to eye, Brother Baggett. We were down here, all these people back here. You know what you do as a wedding. None of y'all are back there saying, "Look at this sweet couple. Aren't they so awesome?" You're all back there saying, "I wish they'd hurry up. I got places to be." And so we're up there and we're looking at one another, Brother Baggett. And she looks at me and she's just so tender and sweet and kind. She said, "It's not too late if you want to back out." And that's how we launched into marriage, Brother Baggett. You know, it's not too late if you want to back out. You know, we hadn't done nothing yet. You know, you can still go. But when we said, "I do," we didn't build that statement on a fifth wheel travel trailer. We didn't build that statement on some kind of a foundation of sand. We made that statement and we built our lives, and it hadn't been perfect, hadn't been easy. We've been through storms, but we anchored it deep. We anchored it solid. We knew that storms were going to come. I'm preaching this morning. I'm going to get where I'm going here in just a minute. I'm just telling you, if you hadn't been through one, one's coming. Some of you are going through it right now and you're thinking, "When is it going to end?" I'm telling you right now that God is the best friend you will ever have in your life. He said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always, even until the ends of the earth." There's no storm that's going to separate you. There's no crisis that's going to separate you. I'm never going to stop loving you. I'm never going to give up on you. I'm never going to stop reaching you. There's nowhere you can go. There's nothing you can go through that my hand cannot reach you and pull you out of. I have not met many people that have walked into the church house and everything in their life was perfect, and just said, "You know what, everything in our life was perfect, Pastor. We just decided we wanted to live for God and come to the church and just ready to start doing things right." I haven't met many folks like that. Usually if they're like that, it's because they moved here because of work, you know. No, but I've met many of folks, and they walk into the church house and they got a smile on their face and it looks like they're good folks. And they're not, they're bad people, but their life is chaotic. I remember walking into the church at the age of 18, and I was a backslidden preacher's kid. I was fighting depression. I was fighting suicidal thoughts. My life was an absolute mess. I was full of bitterness. I was full of hatred. I was literally driving down the road one day, and I wouldn't plan on doing any of this. I'm just kind of going here for a minute. I remember driving down the road, and I was dating a girl that in high school, when I got out of high school, I'd asked the girl to marry me. We got engaged, and we were engaged for, I don't know, 6 or 8 months. And life did what life does sometimes. It turned my world upside down. And I remember breaking off that engagement with that girl, and I was becoming haunted by what happened to me at the age of 12. I was becoming haunted by a Pentecostal church that we attended, and a moment in my life where I was stirred by God, and I walked up to the pastor and I tugged him on the arm one Sunday night and I said, "Brother Wheatley, I want to get baptized in Jesus' name." I was being haunted by that next Sunday night when I got in that water baptistry, and it wasn't heated, folks. I'm just telling you right now. If you hadn't been baptized in Jesus' name, you ought to get done that now. We got heated pools like saunas now, you know, jacuzzis now, you know. This thing was cold. I mean, that's how they tried you to make sure you were real serious. I had stammering lips down. I weren't even all the way in yet, Brother Bag. I had stammering lips about halfway into the water. It was ice cold. I was being haunted by the fact when I came up out of that water, I was speaking in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. I was being haunted by the fact that standing in that watery baptistry speaking in other tongues that God called me to preach. At 18, I was being haunted by that. I broke up with this girl. I was running from God as fast and as hard as I could. I will never forget the day driving in my car that I was so depressed. I was so overwhelmed in life. I literally, the thought went through my mind and I said, "I'm going to go home and I'm going to kill myself." I'm not making that up this morning. I have preached this for years all over the country. That's where I was at the age of 18. And when that thought went through my mind and I said, "I'm fixing to drive home and I am fixing to kill myself," the Lord spoke to me. I hadn't heard from the Lord since I was 12 years old, and the Lord spoke to me as plain as day, "You need to go see Sheila Tolano." Now, Sheila Tolano doesn't mean anything to y'all, but she was a school teacher of mine at high school. Her and her husband pastored a Pentecostal church there in the West Monroe area, and I drove right then, Brother Baggett. I turned my car around, and I drove to their church, and I went and knocked on the parsonage of that church where I knew they lived, and I graduated high school with their son, and I knocked on that door, and Sheila Tolano answered that door, and I stood there as an 18-year-old old man weeping and sobbing, and I said, "I need help." My life wasn't perfect. Nobody was knocking down my door saying, "We need David Clary in our church, man. If we had David Clary sitting on our pew, man, it'd be great. David Clary has got so much to offer the church. David Clary has got so much to offer the kingdom of God. David Clary is going to be a great preacher. David, well, we're working on the great, but David Clary is going to be such an asset to the kingdom of God. We got to get..." No. I walked there and knocked on their door on the middle of an afternoon. I don't know what they had going on in their life, and I just looked at her and I said, "Hi. What I feel this morning. I sat in my chair last night in my house, and my wife walked into the living room and I said, "Babe," I said, "I am constantly amazed at how God speaks to me." I drove this morning because I feel that in my spirit that somebody is just saying, I need help. It's the hardest statement to make. We're so consumed in our pride and our self-reliance that I can fix it on my own. I can handle it myself. What is it for us men to admit, I can't fix this? I don't have the answers for this. My life is out of control. I'm bound by so many addictions. I'm bound so much by so many sinful lusts. My marriage is falling apart. My kids, I'm losing my kids. I'm losing my marriage. I'm losing control of my life, and I don't know how to do it. And it's so hard for us, pastor, to simply say, "I need help. I need help. God, I need you." We could pass the microphone this morning. We all have our stories of like what I just told right here from one degree to the other. We can all talk about how we found God. We can all talk about the storms and the crises and the dilemmas and the conditions that our hearts and our lives were in when we walked in the house of God. Some we knew when we come and some we didn't even fully understand until God began to reveal it and convict us and move in our lives. But we all have our stories of how our lives were falling apart and we had to swallow our pride. I'll never forget, 18 years old, I walked into the Tlanos Church. I got on the second pew right here. How you doing, buddy? I'm going to preach right behind you if that's okay. You going to amen me? Good deal. And I'll never forget, I stood right here. Now, folks, listen. Worst thing you can do is a backslidden preacher kids that come into church and walk all the way to the front and sit. You know that. I stood with everybody else, Brother Baggett, and they began to sing and they began to worship, and I stood there and the power of God fell on me and I grabbed the pew in front of me and I gripped it with everything I had. I had my head looking straight down. Tears were just streaming down. Nobody could see what was happening except for the drummer that was on this side of the platform. A kid my age, I never met, I never knew, he didn't know me. All of a sudden, as I stood there weeping and sobbing and gripping that pew in front of me so tight, I felt an arm come around my shoulder and I looked up and it was the drummer. He had left the drums in the middle of the song and he walked across. He was being sensitive to what he was seeing and what he just walked over. A complete stranger, he didn't know me. He didn't know if he'd offend me. He didn't know if he'd hurt my feelings. He just walked all the way across that sanctuary and he threw his arms around me and he lifted up his other arm and he began to worship. And man, I'm telling you, I feel like, this is what I just want to tell you this morning. I'm getting way away from when I came to preach. I'm telling you, you're in a safe place. I feel that way this morning. Sometimes you're nervous about exposing your problems. Sometimes you're nervous about exposing your needs. Sometimes you're nervous about what others are going to think about you. You're nervous about how others may judge you. But here was this young man, so sensitive, so compassionate about what God was doing in my life. He walked across and just threw his arm around me and he began to worship, began to pray, and began to magnify God as the Holy Ghost moved on me and renewed me in that service. I want you to understand, you're in a safe place this morning. You're in a safe place. That's all right. You're in a safe place. You can expose your heart to God this morning. I'm thankful that God does not change. I'm thankful that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm thankful that my problems does not drive him away from me. I'm thankful that my problems does not change the way that he loves me. I'm thankful that my problems does not change the plans he has for my life. I'm thankful that between the ages of 12 and 18, this old boy got in a lot of trouble. Between 12 and 18 of being in that baptistry and being baptized in his name and filled with the Holy Ghost and being called to preach, it was a long journey from 12 to 18. I can tell you about smoking, and I can tell you about drinking. I can tell you about fighting. I can tell you about I was the troubled kid in school. I can tell you about being arrested at the age of 15. I could talk to you about being on probation for a year and a half. I can talk to you about that probation officer showing up once a month in my high school and talking to my teachers and the principals, and then that man had complete control over my life. All it took was one teacher to say something, and I'm out picking up trash on the weekend. I can tell you about all the fights. I can tell you about all the troubles. I can tell you about all the D's and the F's. I can tell you about the chaos in my life. I can tell you about the hatred that I have. From 12 to 18 was a long journey. But in the midst of my storm and in the midst of my journey and in the midst of my mess ups, God's plan, God's purpose, God's love, God's mercy, it never changed. See, sometimes we feel like when we mess up that all of a sudden we've disqualified the rest of our lives. I'm glad that when God called Jonah to Nineveh and Jonah said, I'm not going, I'm going to Tarshish instead. And the Bible says he met a great storm. So much so, they begin to throw the tackling of the ship over, just like what I read with Paul. So much so that Jonah knew and discerned it was God chasing him down. And he said, if you'll just throw me over this boat, this storm's going to cease. Jonah didn't know anything about there being a fish down there. He didn't know anything about being in the belly of a whale for 3 days. He didn't know anything about the provision of God. He had no idea that God's plan has not changed for his life. For all he knows, here's the judgment of God resting upon my life. Throw me overboard and let me die. Let me meet my eternal judgment with God. But I'm glad between the first calling and the second calling of Jonah that God's plan and purpose never changed for his life. The Bible said, and God called unto Jonah the second time and said, arise and get to Nineveh. I'm telling, I'm preaching to somebody in this place. From 12 to 18, your journey's gone a lot of different places. Life has taken you a lot of different places. From your first encounter with God to where you're at today, life has not been good. You've made poor decisions. You've made bad judgments in your life. But I'm telling you, God's love has never changed. God's plan has never changed. God's purpose and destiny for your life has never changed. He's as close as the mentioning of His name. I feel in my spirit this morning, there's a second call of God that's coming forth into somebody's life. If you'll just hear it and if you'll just respond to it, God's waiting for you. Come on, Jonah. I don't care how long you've been in the belly of that whale. If you'll notice the words of Jonah, he said, 3 days I was in the belly of hell. Some folks living in hell, living through hell. Surely God doesn't love me. Surely God's forgot about me. Surely God can't do anything with me. Won't you stand with me this morning? Man, I really had a good message, Brother Baggett. I'm going to let you read it later on. It was really good. All these good points and scriptural references. God's not done with somebody. I understand I'm not preaching to everybody, but I'm preaching to somebody. God's not done with you. I'm telling you, Jonah, God's not done with you. I'm going to tell you something, Paul. You're in a storm right now. And until that angel showed up beside you, you had to be thinking, my ministry could be over. I may not come through this. I may not see everything I thought I would see. I may not experience everything I thought I would experience. I'm come to tell somebody today, God's not through with you. You're going to conquer this storm. God's getting ready to bring you out of what you're in. I remember my wife's uncle diagnosed with throat cancer. Last story and I'm done. Probably 55, 56 years old, probably been 2 years ago now, diagnosed with throat cancer. For weeks he'd been hurting in his throat. He'd lost weight because he couldn't eat, couldn't swallow. They'd been checking him for everything in the world, couldn't figure out what was going on until finally they found the throat cancer, the tumor in his throat. Went to the Cancer Institute in Oklahoma City. He got a wonderful report from them. They said, we think we can help you, we're just going to cut your tongue out. Do about 9 to 12 weeks of chemo. But you're going to live. Well, I'm going to tell you what, if you knew Winford, you know taking his tongue out and never eating again, he wasn't going to be living. He said, you know what, I'm going to take that report. I'm going to go back home. We're going to go pray about it. We'll get back with you. West Monroe, Louisiana. Went back to church. They said on a Sunday night, said the power of God fell on. You got to know Winford. He's not an emotional guy. He's not a big worshiper guy. You know, it's just not who he is. They said the power of God fell down and hit him. They said Winford hit the ground. Winford, probably 270, 280 pounds. They said he hit that ground. They said he just began to roll. They said for about 5 minutes, he was on that ground just weeping and sobbing. 3 days later, he didn't put on another 5 pounds. Started eating. Went back to the Cancer Institute a few weeks later. He didn't put on almost 20 pounds when he went back. And they said, how are you putting on weight? He said, well, I've been eating ribeyes and steaks. He told them all that. They said, how are you eating? You can't eat. He said, well, I'm just telling you, I think God touched me. Y'all need to run another exam down there. I just think God touched me. They ran that oscope down his throat. And they said, now, Mr. Rogers, what side of your throat was that tumor on? And you got to know Winford to imagine what his response was to him. But I'm just telling you, sometimes in the storm, people are going to tell you you're not coming out. People are going to tell you you're not going to make it. There's always somebody around to tell you you've done something wrong. God's given up on you. There's always a voice in your life to tell you you're not coming on the other side of that. The clouds are never going to part. You're never going to get your miracle. You're never going to get your breakthrough. You're never going to be used by God again. I'd like to be a voice from heaven into your life this morning to simply tell you to keep enduring hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Complete, keep believing God for the miracle that you need. Keep pressing on. Keep fighting the good fight. Keep pressing through your crisis. Keep pressing through your storm. You're closer than you realize. Why don't we lift our hands toward heaven right now? Why don't we love him for a moment right here? Come on. You're closer than you realize this morning. You're closer than you realize this morning. Come on, somebody want to tell you to throw in the towel. Somebody want to tell you to walk away. Somebody want to tell you to give up on that dream. I'm telling you, don't stop believing. Don't stop believing. Let me be a voice from heaven to you this morning to tell you God still loves you, that God still loves you, that God is still reaching for you, that God is still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think.
There was no way.